Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I'll be proclaiming God's word today from the Gospel reading, particularly the first part, Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 33. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we too may come to confess Jesus as the Messiah who suffered and died for us. We pray in his name. Amen. In our first reading today, we heard that the Lord God has given this figure in the reading the tongue of a teacher. In our second reading, we heard that not many of us should be teachers. And in our gospel reading, we have Jesus, the teacher, with his disciples, his pupils, his learners. We have Jesus at school, you could say, with his students. Jesus is asking various questions this morning to his disciples, like any good teacher does. And the main question right through this curriculum that Jesus has is, who is Jesus? That's the main question, but the lesson seems to proceed in three stages. For this morning, I'm going to call them primary school, middle school, and high school. So today, as Jesus' disciples, let us go back to school with him and see what he has to teach us. The primary school stage comes with Jesus' first question to his disciples. Who do people say that I am? Now that question is worth thinking a bit about. Who do people say that I am? It seems to imply that Jesus' disciples will know, at least they'll know something about it. In other words, the disciples are called first to be with Jesus and first to listen to him and learn from him, but this question also suggests they will be talking to other people as well, that they will know a bit about how other people see the world. Jesus expects his disciples to have their finger on the spiritual pulse around them, if you like. I don't know about you, but I find this a good little challenge to me. For the people around me, for my family, for my friends, for my neighbours, who would they say Jesus is? For the people who live in the apartments and work in the buildings around our congregation, who would they say Jesus is? In many cases, I just wouldn't know. And so this is an encouragement for us to look for opportunities to find out, to gently and graciously have conversations about the things of God with people, to inquire as to where they are on their own spiritual journey. But then this question also reminds us what the central issue is when it comes to the mission of the church, when it comes to things like evangelism. The central issue is always, what do people make of Jesus? You probably know, as I do, that when you do have conversations with people who aren't Christians or perhaps who are inquiring about the faith, it's very easy to get drawn into all sorts of other questions. You know the ones. Maybe they want to talk about all the problems and scandals in the church. Or maybe it's issues of faith and science, creation and evolution. Maybe it's about Christian teaching on sexuality, or maybe it's about how a good God can allow people to suffer. Now, don't hear me wrong. All of those questions are very important, but none of them is the main question. The main question is always, who do people say Jesus is? And from a Christian perspective, you can really only begin to answer all those other questions once you've answered that first question. We understand the whole Christian faith, in fact, the way we see the whole world, only makes sense in relationship to Jesus. Who do people say that I am? Now, maybe some of you do know. Maybe you know well what people around you say about Jesus. What do people in our society say about him? There's all sorts of answers, isn't there? Perhaps that he was only a myth or a legend. Perhaps that he was a good moral teacher or a great spiritual guru. Perhaps you have Muslim neighbours and friends who would say that Jesus is a prophet, a bit like the people in our text. That's what they were saying. Some said Elijah, some said John the Baptist, some said one of the prophets. The people around Jesus had recognized that there was something different in him. There was something special in him, even that God was speaking through him. And this, I'm suggesting, is the primary school stage. It's not wrong. It's just not complete. Jesus is a prophet, but he's so much more than a prophet. It's quite curious what they were thinking, isn't it? Maybe that John the Baptist had come back from the dead. A rumor perhaps that was fueled by Herod's guilt for beheading him. Or they thought that maybe Elijah had come back, because there was that promise in the book of Malachi that Elijah would come before the Messiah came. And similarly today, many people who would not call themselves Christians still do have something to say about Jesus. They recognize something special in him, and that's not necessarily wrong. It's just not enough. And so then comes middle school. Who do you say that I am? As intriguing as I find that first question, who do people say that I am? This is the core question for us today. And the Lord Jesus asks this question to each and every person in this room. What about you? Who do you say that I am? It's good to talk to others and know what people are saying around us about spiritual things. It's good if you're inclined to read widely in theology and philosophy and even study comparative religions. But there is also a danger in that. The danger is that we become experts in knowing what everyone else says, and we can avoid the personal question. What about you? Who do you say that I am? This is Jesus' biggest concern. Not what everyone else says, but what you, his disciples, say. And this is where the school of Jesus is something so different to any other. Because notice, Jesus does not only come to teach people about spiritual reality, he comes to bring people into an encounter with spiritual reality itself, in himself. He doesn't only come to teach you about life, about how to live. He comes so that we may encounter the very embodiment of life itself in himself. That's why he comes to ask, who do you say that I am? Notice in this question as well that it's not who do you think I am. It's not who do you feel in your heart that I am. It's not even who do you believe that I am, but who do you say that I am? The emphasis here, and I would say throughout the Bible actually, is not only on what we believe inside, but also in what we say, what we speak, what we confess. The Apostle Paul summed this up most famously in Romans 10 when he wrote this. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. This is actually a pretty helpful thing to keep in mind for us modern people who tend to be fairly introspective and have a fairly big focus on the emotions. Certainly, emotions are involved in our faith. But the emotional side of our faith does go up and down quite a bit, doesn't it? And the emphasis here is on what we say, and this is pointing us to something a little more solid and objective, I'd suggest. And most concretely, it points us to what we do together here, as we gather Sunday by Sunday with brothers and sisters in Christ and confess our faith together. Even if you feel that your personal faith is weak, be encouraged to gather together with your brothers and sisters in Christ as we together say who Jesus is. So what's the middle school answer then? Well, Peter, the spokesman of the group, goes to the top of the class. You are the Messiah, or the Christ. The Messiah, the Christ, is the anointed one. God's anointed one, God's King. More than a prophet. This confession by Peter on behalf of the others, it's pointing to the fact that Jesus is unique. He's more than just another of the prophets. It's pointing to the fact that all those promises to the people of old, all those promises of God coming to deliver and rescue His people through His anointed one, that they're all pointing to Jesus. They're fulfilled in Him. It's a wonderful confession. It's a hugely significant point in the gospel story. For the first time, a human being says clearly who Jesus is. But that's when the big surprise comes in the text. Because as true as it is to say Jesus is the Messiah, it's still not enough. Not if you misunderstand it. It's still only middle school, and Jesus still has the most important lesson to teach them. That's why, at this point, comes this sort of confusing and somewhat solemn note. He sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about Him. Why? Well, because as we've said, it's one thing to know Jesus is the Messiah. It's another thing to know what sort of Messiah He has come to be. That's where we move on to high school. I don't know about you, but as my own education progressed and I went into high school, especially in the later years, things sort of moved into a different mode of learning. You know, when you start to move from just having the right answers to really starting to wrestle, to reflect, to ask why, to engage in the complexity of life, to see the deeper significance of things. It's not that the things I had learnt before were untrue, but they just weren't enough. They weren't complete. And I can even remember teachers on occasion saying, "Now, I know we told you before it was like this, but now we sort of need to dismantle that a bit so that we can give you the fuller and the deeper picture. You needed that initial lesson to lay the foundation, but now we need to stretch you." And something like this is happening with the disciples and their confession of Jesus as the Messiah. Because straight away, Jesus begins to explain He's a very different sort of Messiah from the one they had imagined. Then He began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. And you can see from Peter's reaction that this just blew their minds. This blew their worlds. This brought about some sort of an existential crisis for these men in Jesus' high school. They could handle Jesus as this anointed King from God as long as they could conceive of Him in a human way of thinking. This human way of thinking where the King would mean power and might, worldly glory and victory, but a suffering Messiah, a servant king. This is the hardest lesson of all. But Jesus will have it no other way. As you see from Jesus' response to Peter's rebuke, one of the strongest things Jesus ever says to anyone, "Get behind me, Satan." We see from this that for Jesus, this is crucial. For Jesus, this is the lesson you cannot afford to get wrong. There is no true Christ without the cross. In fact, the way Jesus talks to Peter is as if anything that tries to separate Jesus from the path to the cross is from the evil one. That's pretty serious stuff. Remember what the Apostle Paul says. Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Far be it for me to boast in anything except in the cross of Jesus Christ. This is the most important lesson of all, because Jesus crucified and risen is the only Jesus who can save us. It's not finally Jesus the prophet or Jesus the teacher who will save us. The prophet can bring the message from God of judgment and hope. The teacher can guide our life in this world, but that does not address our deepest problem, namely that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. And even Jesus as the Messiah, as God's anointed king, even this, wrongly understood, cannot save us. We too can look to Jesus in this way, looking only for miracles and healing in this life, for status and power in this world, and so this sort of faith has little room for the suffering and dying Messiah. But the true Messiah, the one who comes to suffer for you, to be rejected for you, to die and rise again for you, this is the one who can truly save you. Because he comes to rescue you not from the enemies of this world, but from the enemies of sin, death, and the devil. The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. And for Jesus, learning this is the most important lesson of all. And that's Jesus' little school today for his pupils, where the core question of the curriculum is, who is Jesus? In primary school, we learn there's something special about him, that he's a prophet sent from God. In middle school, that he's the Messiah, God's anointed king. And in high school, the sort of king that he's come to be, the suffering Messiah, the king who gives his life for us and rises again from the dead. And so Jesus says, "What about you? Who do you say that I am?"